Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
We are a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. And this is your episode for this week. What is it? We recorded this about a week in advance, so I don't even know what...
This is your episode for Tuesday, September 28th.
Oh, is that it? Oh, yeah. Shit. We're almost in October?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. It's about to be, we're getting into Shocktober. We're getting into spooky time.
Spooky season.
The spooky season.
When's the last time you had a real costume?
A real costume?
Didn't we, I think we talked about this on Anna and Andrew's podcast.
And I think the last time I had a real costume was like, maybe in college I did something, a sexy version of a costume.
Oh, when we first started dating, you did some sexy...
One sexy, like, fake sexy costume.
Yeah, you're
sexy,
like...
Sexy Michelle Obama.
Sexy bell hooks.
Which I just say is, like, yes, just be a black woman. Any black woman who's famous, and then put sexy in front of it. So it's like, I did it. So is that a real costume? Actually, when I say it now. I think it sounds like it's not.
Yeah.
But what about you?
I went to a Halloween party and I dressed up like David Cross's character.
You mean like yourself?
Like
a hoodie and a shirt?
David Cross character from Mr. Show, where he had a t-shirt that said "Shut up, bitch" on it. He was
cool.
I think they were doing one of those fake things. They don't do them anymore, but like, you know, they would go to, you know, in like the 80s, they would make commercials for films and they would do man on the street interviews after people walked out of the film. And they're like, what do you think of the film?
Yeah, I
think he was supposed to be a dumb shithead. His character, the character he's playing, was just a dumb shithead. And that's why he wore that t-shirt.
Oh, okay. That sounds like a funny sketch.
Wow.
Andrew,
wow, the shade.
Andrew Becker, man. Today's episode is super fun.
Yeah. Well, we are big fans of our guest.
Absolutely. We are talking to Roz Hernandez. Rob hosts the podcast Ghosted by Roz Dresvalez. Roz is an actor. Roz is out here performing live. Roz is out here giving you stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Roz is coming at you with a multimedia approach.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, she's great.
So great. So fun. We learned a lot. I like when we do episodes with people who we sort of know, and then we end up learning a lot about who they are.
Yeah, crazy shit.
Yeah, where it's like, that would have never come up, I guess, when we were hanging out.
I won't spoil it, but a job she had when she was young was crazy.
You're going to get into it. It's going to be beautiful. But wait, before
we get there, like, yeah. I said last episode, we got a lot of responses to one of the advice questions from Michael Cyril Crichton's episode. Now, a woman named Blue wrote into us, and her and her husband have been married for a while, but they've only had sex 4 times in the last 10 years. She has a higher sex drive than he does.
Blue would like intimacy.
She would like intimacy. She would like something. And more than what they have, and she didn't know what to do. We gave pretty good advice, but a lot of people had some thoughts.
We love that.
I'm going to, because this first one is a little more caustic than the second one. Let's read this one first. This comes from Caitlin from Twitter. And Caitlin says, was just listening to the most recent episode of my fave podcast, exclamation mark.
Thank you, Caitlin.
And someone finally asked the question I always wanted to send y'all, but was always ashamed because for me, I knew what the answer was. I was living with a man for 8 years, and the sex was fine the first year. But over time, he confessed that he had no sex drive and felt no pleasure when he had sex. I figured I could handle a possible asexual partner, but he never kissed me or held me, no matter how many times I tried to express my needs to him. Mm. He would not go to therapy or agree to an open relationship, and I felt myself shrinking over time and feeling like if I was prettier, maybe it would be different. This isn't the answer the other listener may want, but I finally broke up with him because I realized I was allowed to crave touch and really express my sexuality. I left my partner of 8 years and he stole my Labrador.
What?
But I'm having the best sex of my life right now. And my whole life is better now that I am fulfilled. We did not have children and were not married, so it was easier for me to leave, but it was something I do not regret one bit because I found a partner who expresses the love that I need. So I wish the best for you and your husband, but it's okay to get what your body and heart needs to. And you can use my name, shout out to the world that I'm finally getting laid again. And then Caitlin sent an addendum. Okay, now I feel like a monster, like I just broke up with him for that. But he was also emotionally unavailable and as affectionate as a brick wall. So I really tried, but after years of being the only one bending and sacrificing my needs, I had to make the tough choice. But I've never been happier. So I hope Blue finds happiness however she does.
We love it. Thank you, Caitlin. However, I would still like to make a citizen's arrest for someone who stole a Labrador.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? I hope he never finds joy. That's what I say. If you stole a Labrador, may you never know peace.
Yeah. All right. And then we got one. Amy, you're going to love this one. This is a voicemail.
Ooh, I love a VM.
So this is another response to Blue's Conundrum, which sounds like
an indie rock album.
Oh, I was going to say it sounds like a computer game like King's Quest or something like that from the early 90s.
Interesting.
Sierra Online. That's what they were. The Sierra games. Blue's Conundrum. All right, here we go.
Hi, guys. I just recently started listening to your show. And on the last episode, I know that people were encouraged to, you know, call in with anything similar to or any, you know, thoughts on Blue's situation. And after hearing, you know, what she had said, I just kind of wanted to, you know, share a little bit. Not sure if this would be enlightening at all, but so everyone was talking a little bit about, you know, what it means to be sex negative and, you know, things like that. I'm married. I identify as asexual, whereas my husband, does not. He is a, you know, a very sexual being. But as all things on the, you know, LGBTQIA+, spectrum are, you know, everything on there is a spectrum. So the way that I see myself is that, you know, there are a couple different extremities on asexuality. And for me, I'm less on the side of, you know, sex is repulsive and I don't want to do it, and more on the side of it's fine once in a, you know, it's fine when, you know, the mood is right and when, you know, once in a while. But I also, you know, I appreciate it now and then. Just for me, as my own asexual being, I don't need it to be happy in a relationship. Now, this is something my husband knew before we ever even started dating. You know, I had told him it multiple times to make sure that he was okay with it and he knew what he was getting into. And I've always told him if he ever feels deprived, he needs to tell me so that we can change something. But as of yet, nothing has, you know, upset him. He's sort of just grown to kind of match me and I've grown to match him. And, you know, we sort of learned to work with each other and make each other happy in that way. But it did require, you know, very open communication and a lot of talking to make sure that I know what he needs and he knows what I need. And that no one ever feels pressured to, you know, have sex if they're not feeling it. So yeah, I know that y'all were talking about a lot of that. This is probably just repeating the same thing, but I just wanted to, you know, put in from my experience of, you know, being married and being sort of an asexual being that it is possible for it to be happy and healthy, and not every situation is like mine. But, you know, I hope that they can have a very, very, you know, honest conversation about it going forward, and that somehow, you know, they will, you know, be able to make each other happy going forward. Thanks, guys.
Two ends of the spectrum.
Yes.
Two ends of the spectrum.
I love also how thoughtful our listeners are. Mm-hmm. The people who are really showing up, they're really giving mm-hmm. you this nuanced approach mm-hmm. and being so kind and open.
Mm-hmm.
That's gorgeous. It's a testament to us.
Oh, I love that. The true narcissist. Always finding a way to turn it back on themselves. But we had one where it's, hey, this can't work at all. And yep. then the other end of the spectrum, it can work.
Yep.
So,
but with open communication.
Open communication. All right, Naomi, I don't want to delay another moment. Why don't we get to the episode?
Roll it!
Do you need another take, Mr. Meyer? Mr. Meyer, Oscar Meyer. I'm auditioning for an Oscar Meyer voiceover.
That's yeah, that's the Meyer in MGM. Is yeah. is they Oscar did Meyer. Movies and baloney. Those were the two.
Cornered the market, you know? Gotta have a brand. Yeah. Gotta have a gimmick.
Do you guys remember when our grandparents could go to the movies for a nickel, see a double feature, and get a slice of bologna?
Oh my God. A Nickelodeon and a slice of bologna.
Nickelodeon and some olive loaf.
Delicious?
I don't know. Well, okay, it depends on what part of the country you're from, right? And I think probably what class you grew up in.
Whether you like olive loaf, you mean?
Yes, Roz, okay. I will pose this question to you.
Did I grow up in an olive loaf type environment?
Olive loaf family. Were you an olive loaf family?
You know, we were not very loaf positive. We didn't do meatloafs. We didn't even listen to Meatloaf, the musician.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Anytime in Rocky Horror Picture Show, when he came on, we fast forwarded. I mean, we just didn't have loafs in the house. There were no loaves.
Our family went further. We actively cut Meatloaf out of Rocky Horror. So anytime he's on screen, we cut that, you know, in a very early version of Final Cut Pro.
Yeah, I'm hot duty, rest your soul.
I just would like the listener to know that Roz is drinking the largest shake smoothie that I've ever seen in all my days. It looks to be approximately 40 ounces. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a big gulp. I go to 7-Eleven, I get a big gulp cup, and I fill it with smoothie. Now, it's probably the same size. It is big. You're right.
Yeah.
You are right to say that. Well, I don't know. I recently got back into pasta. I had a real pasta thing going on during pandemic. I still say this, like, when the pandemic was going on, like, what am I talking about? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Lockdown, pre-vax. Yeah, it was lockdown was full pastademic. I mean, yeah. I was eating pasta every day. It's a wonderful thing, but I need to eat a little bit more healthy. And so I've been making these smoothies, and yeah, it's big, but you know, it's kind of like a midday meal for me.
Okay. It eats like a meal, a smoothie that eats like a meal.
Could be the lighting, but it does look like goulash.
Ew.
It looked like cookies and cream to me. It's a
vegan chocolate protein powder.
Okay.
With frozen bananas, frozen blueberries, frozen spinach. And it also has a couple of different types of nuts and seeds.
Wow.
And yeah.
Wow. And that's very impressive.
Have I ever talked about on the pod how I got in trouble at Subway for stealing soda?
That might have been for Patreon, but I do remember that happening.
Well, Roz, I'll tell you.
Please.
There were many years where I was just scraping by, and I had this terrible job in Midtown at this real estate company, and I had so little money that what I did was at the beginning of the week, I went into Subway, got the largest, the sodas were self-serve. So I got the largest cup, filled it up with soda, and then the rest of the week during the lunch hour when it was busy, I would just sneak in, refill the cup.
Oh, that's genius.
And then I would have caffeine. I would have delicious, delicious syrupy caffeine for the
fountain
rest.
Fountain
caffeine for the rest of the day. Until I got caught. And I went in once. And I went in, you know what? Like Icarus, I flew too close to the sun. I got arrogant. Right. And I went in when it wasn't as busy.
Yeah.
I was so sure of myself. Uh-huh. And I got caught and I couldn't show my face in that subway again.
I mean,
wait. So what happened? They yelled at you?
Yeah. What are they going to do? Call the cops?
Right. It's the great thief, the great soda bandit.
Yeah. I go, no, I paid for this. And then I walked out without before they could do anything.
Oh, so you just held to the lie. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Never. Look, always deny when you're caught in a lie. All right,
wow.
Folks, say it with me.
Nope. I don't allow it.
Always deny when you're caught in a lie.
Isn't that healthy? Isn't that healthy for our relationship, Raz?
Worked for OJ. Well, I don't lie. So that's the thing. This is, you know what? This subway taught me never to lie, Naomi.
Andy, we got to pivot. I have so many questions for Roz, okay?
Well, I started asking if you were a low family.
But I want to know where you grew up.
These are the hard-hitting questions that we need to get to the bottom of. I grew up in a loafless town known as Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Right, Michigan.
One of my best friends is from Grand Rapids.
No way.
Yeah. Maybe you know him, his name.
Maybe. I don't know. What's his name?
I think you're younger than me, so I don't think so. I don't want to have to bleep it out.
Okay.
His name's Eric. If you know any Erics.
Yes,
I
know Eric. but I moved to LA 11 years ago. So, no, 12 years ago. So I mean, this is just like home, you know. I go back to Michigan like sometimes, like very rarely. I don't even know when the next time I will go back. I don't know. I just love it here.
What's the dating scene like in Michigan?
Oh, yeah. What's the Grand Rapids vibes?
Well, I left when I was 17. So,
oh my God, you're much younger than.
So, if you want to hear about, you know, hooking up in a car in a church parking lot before my curfew, I could certainly tell you about that dating scene. But yeah, I can't say I really know.
Yeah, suburban vibes.
Very suburban, but it's like a big. It's like a small, big city. Kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we had an arena where like big musical acts would come. We had two malls. You know, it's not in the middle of nowhere by any means.
Right.
And there was also like maybe three gay bars. So, you know, it was kind of nice. I started exploring queerness in high school. And so I could even go to, Discussions, the coffee shop that used to be there. It was like a gay coffee shop. I know it's not a great name.
Discussions.
Sam and I always love to talk about like whispers or like, I don't know, just like fun, like these names. There was a place called, oh, there's still, I think it's still there. It's called Rumors. It's in Grand Rapids. It's great. And there was one called Diversions.
Oh my God, all of these plurals. Discussions, Rumors, Diversions.
I was in my head thinking of like the next.
The third?
The joke part. And I'm like, the reality
Grand Rapids
of this.
Grand Rapids knows the rule of threes.
The reality of this was so much funnier than.
Diversions.
Diversions.
I can't.
Yeah, I don't think Diversions is there anymore, but there were those places which I didn't get to go to. You know, I did. I met another Latino kid. There wasn't many in the community I grew up in, but I met one that was, I think, 2 years older than me. So by the time I left, I think I was 17. So like the last like year I was there, I had like an 18-year-old ID, but I was too afraid to use it. I didn't have the balls of Andy in Subway. It was like, I'm gonna get busted.
Oh, I was at an advanced age when I tried that, trust me.
Right, right.
At 17, you know, the worst thing I did was steal a ski ball from Bolarama.
Oh my God. You talk about that all the time.
Because it's all I've done.
I know it's your one brush with danger. And that's why you were going to see
it. It's the only mischief I really participated in.
I grew up super Catholic.
I was going to ask you when you said church parking lot, like talk to me about church. Okay, super
okay,
Catholic.
Yeah, I grew up very Catholic. I believe it was the oldest boy-girl Catholic school in America that I went to.
Oh, Lord.
My grandfather went to it. My mom and her siblings went to it. It was a very old Catholic school. And I went to Catholic school the whole time that I lived there. Why was I bringing up Catholicism? I don't know. It was
diversions, discussions, rumors. Catholicism.
Yeah, quiet arguments.
quiet. Heated arguments. I like heated arguments.
Oh, no, my
it
God.
Breaks the
it, be quiet.
It breaks how mild everything is.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a part of my story. But I actually moved when I was right before my senior year of high school. I moved by myself to LA.
And whoa.
Yeah, I had my parents like co-sign and they let me go. And
wait, okay, wait, you got emancipated?
I didn't get emancipated because it was just a few months before I turned 18. It was like this. Wait, no. That's not true. Well, it was like the summer before my senior year of high school. So that's when I moved out and I moved here.
Did you finish
Hollywood.
High school?
Yeah, I did a homeschool, like independent study kind of a thing for my senior year. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, I had like agents and stuff and I was like doing auditions and I did some commercials and...
Wait
a second.
as she sips her giant smoothie.
Let me have a smoothie.
A very
chug.
Well-placed sip.
Yeah, exactly. So this wasn't you like running away from Grand Rapids. You were already working? Tell us everything about you as a child star.
I know, isn't that weird? well, I did a lot of theater. And then... my sister lived in Dallas, Texas, and I was going to visit her, and she called, and she was like, hey, I heard this thing on the radio. Like, I know that you're, like, an actor. There's, like, this thing where it was one of those things where it's like, come on down to the Marriott. We've got, you know, from Hannah Montana, the casting directors, and Nickelodeon, and, like, all this. Like, I don't know, these things that you hear on the radio, we were like, that's a scam.
How old were you?
16, 17, okay. Something like
by
that.
By the way... that's the same voice as like Nitro Burning Funny Cars. Sunday.
Yeah.
Bigfoot, Truckosaurus.
Exactly. Yeah, it was very that energy.
We've got the all that producers. the writer of iCarly.
Yeah, I guess it was, no, the voice was probably more like, hey, does your kid have talent? Like, you know, it was very like, come on, I guess you're right. I was kind of giving you Sunday. kid seats, just $5. No, this was, so it's a long story. It's boring. Long story short, I like did this competition thing that was in
LA.
You went to the Marriott. It was not like in a hotel room or anything. It was like a lobby. And then... it was like this thing that ended up being this competition thing, and I ended up doing pretty well in it, and I got
American Idol?
No. It was just like a thing that was like to get agents and casting directors, and I think it really was a scam, but it didn't really work that way for me. Like it actually ended up being pretty legit for me, and I got like agents and stuff, and then I moved to LA, and I tried to do high school, and I finished, but it was so hard to be 17 in LA, no parental supervision, super oppressed, like from Catholicism, like, you know, like dealing with my queerness and, you know, later I realized like transness and gender identity and all this stuff, and having to deal with all of that. And then another long story short, like really got into drinking and drugs and all that kind of stuff. And I was a wild child as a kid, but I've been sober for almost 7 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
congrats.
Bitch. Yes. Yeah. Thank Keep you. Coming back. Now, though, okay, so you're 17, you're in LA. Could you give me a sense of where were you living? Who were you
North
living
Hollywood.
With?
North Hollywood.
Oh, God.
No.
12 years ago?
Yes. It was.
Oh, God.
The building I lived in, it was so, the room was teeny tiny. There was a girl from one of those VH1, like, Flavor of Love or something that lived in my building, and I would see her. And that was, like, my first, like, a celebrity. Like, I know a celebrity. And she, like, lived in the same building as me. And, yeah, it was rough.
You were by yourself, though? Did you have, like, roommates or anything?
No, I was able to, like, get a little tight. Okay, so going back even further, I've worked since I started working when I was 10 as a birthday party clown. I developed my own act.
Roz, every new thing you say.
I've always been like a hustler, like a drag queen. Like I developed this clown character when I was 10. I used to call up companies and be like, hey, do you need a clown for your corporate party? And then I would make $50 a gig. I learned how to make balloon animals, juggle.
What?
I learned all this shit when I was like 10. And then I stopped doing that because like kids were mean to me. And
well,
then
also,
I
you
started,
were a child. What would happen when you showed up as a child clown? Because you're saying all this shit like it's matter of fucking fact.
I know. It's matter because of fact, Roz. I've really processed it in my adulthood where I'm like, this is insane. But yeah, my parents would like drive me to like these gigs. Like I'd be like, Mom, I got another gig. Like we have to go to like some real estate companies doing a family picnic for their employees. And I need, you know.
Roz, hold on.
Need to go
on.
Get some balloons.
Walk me through the idea. I need to know every moment from you deciding, hey, this is something I want to do. I want to be a corporate clown.
Is that funny?
Or like that it's a business that you could do this in the first
place.
Yeah,
how did it even come to you?
Then you said this to your parents and they were like, yeah, sure, I'll drive you to the corporate headquarters for Kellogg's and so you can make balloon animals.
I got you. Okay, so my father was a fireman and he developed his own clown character that he would do for like kids, like school, like he would like go to school,
presentations,
and teach them about fire safety, and he would do it as a clown. So I first that seed was planted, but even when you're a clown, you want to rebel against your parents. And so I was like, I'm not going to be that kind of clown. Okay. I'm going to be a clown that does like comedy clown. Like I do tricks and stuff, you know? And you know, it's also funny as I've gotten older, I've kind of realized that even at a young age, I was really uncomfortable in my own skin. And so it was a way for me to put on drag. I mean, it really is drag. It was developing a character, the wigs, the makeup, developing an act. And it was how I could do that in front of people, even though I was like uncomfortable as this little boy. So that's how that started. But then from there, I taught myself how to play guitar and bass guitar, and I would play at a church. And that was like all weekend long, I'd be playing gigs, and I saved up my money. This is going back to how I was able to survive in a studio apartment in North Hollywood. So I had like a little bit of money from that as well. And then like, I mean, I was like 17, so my parents would help me a little bit here and there and whatever. But I was always like on the hustle.
Yeah. Where did that come from? Like, did you grow up with... Yeah, where'd you get that hustle in you, especially from such a young age? And then also, we will need to talk about your parents as people who were like, yeah, we got to take Roz to the gig. And then also people who are like, okay, move to LA. Like, they seem like kind of cool in a weird way, or like at least chill about things. But yes, let's talk about where the hustle began.
Yeah, I don't know. I grew up in a very sports dominated household, and I never really connected. I tried really hard, but that was not my thing. And I was into showbiz. Like I wanted to be in showbiz. Like even when I would go to church, I was like, oh my God, the priest is like got a dress on, she's got like the full like she's off book, like she knows all the lines. Like I was like, I really saw it as showbiz.
Yeah.
And so Yeah, I think that that's sort of where I like got into. I always liked, you know, colorful things and wigs and costumes and like just all of that. That was just my thing. And my parents were pretty supportive of that. I mean, there was a lot of like, Mom, you're married to a clown. Like, calm down. Like, don't have an issue with me doing that. Like, you're the one that married a clown, a literal clown. Yeah, I mean, we've had a complicated relationship, my parents and I, but overall, they're really great. And we actually just went whale watching this weekend. They happened to be in town.
Oh.
And we went, I went whale watching for the first time, which was majestic.
Did you see any beautiful whales?
We did. We saw a couple of whales. We saw a tail or two, and lots of dolphins. And yeah, it was cute. I mean, we're working. You know, we have a good relationship, my parents and I. But I've exposed them to a lot of the world that they would never have had to see. You know, mm-hmm. just with me and my existence and the kind of person I am. So I have to be understanding of that because they're just, you know, they're not used to getting my pronouns right. They dead name me. You know, it's like, it's mm-hmm. a lot of that, but it's a lot to hear in a short amount of time when I see them because I never really hear that. But they mean well and they're, you know, they're very supportive and they've always, I've always had a thing where my parents have, like, they've always been in charge, like, especially when I was a kid. They were always in charge, but I was always like, here's what I want to do, and, like, I'm going to figure out a way to do it. Like, even when I was, like, mm-hmm. in high school, they would, like, they didn't want me to wear my, like, Hot Topic clothes. And I was like, well, I'm going to make money so I can buy Hot Topic clothes.
I see.
And then you guys can't tell me I can't wear it. So then I have to hide my Hot Topic clothes. It was like a whole thing.
Hiding your Hot Topic is very Grand Rapids teen. That feels very right to me.
That's funny. Naomi, do you think you could have gotten away? Your mom says you can't do X, whatever X is. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, I'm going to make the money and I'm going to do X. I'm going to pay for X. My parents are like, no, we don't care if you have the money or we give you the money.
Right.
Whatever X is.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. To an extent, it was that. And so that's where I still had to like hide. And like in some ways, you know, my parents were trying to keep me away from drinking and doing drugs and stuff, which I figured out how to do anyway. And it ended up being a real like... You know, now I'm on the other side of it, so I'm actually grateful for the experience of how, as awful as it was being an addict. But you know, they didn't want me to have to do that. They didn't want me to go through that and be into all of that stuff. But you know, it's tough. It's really tough when you grow up in like a Catholic society and you feel like such an outsider, and then you're dealing with like it's just so crazy how many things I didn't realize I was dealing with. Until I've gotten older, and actually very recently, a lot of stuff where I've been like, oh yeah, like I'm like coming into my gender identity and a better understanding of my identity and my transness, and I look back and I just think of so many things as a kid where I'm like, oh yeah, like I was so uncomfortable in my own skin. I just wanted to escape. I wanted to go to anywhere, like anywhere else, whether it was just in my brain or it was geographically or whatever. I just mm-hmm. wanted to get out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you don't mind, can I ask, how do you separate that from, how do you separate that, like understanding that as being this kind of inkling of being like, oh, I have a different gender identity than the one I was assigned at birth, from just like, oh, everything around me sucks and I feel alienated from the society in general because I think differently. Do you know, does that make sense?
I know. Well, I know, and that's the thing, because I am, I'm a weirdo on top of anything else, you know? Like, I'm also, like, into just things that are funky, you know? It's like, I talk about ghosts and I wear wigs, like that's like my thing, you know, like I'm just like a funky person. And it's hard when you're not around other funky people,
right,
to feel like that's an okay thing to do. Especially like, I'm sorry, this always comes up anytime I talk on like a podcast, I always go here with it, but I'm like, people, we've all almost forgotten that, like, when we grew up, it wasn't that long ago, but that you only saw what you saw on TV or read in a book. Like, you couldn't just go to YouTube and type in, right, ooh, drag queens. Like, I saw what I saw, and it wasn't a lot. Like, I didn't see a lot of people that were like me. Mm-hmm. And transness, and, you know, like, that wasn't a thing in the 90s and early 2000s to see constantly on TV or wherever. Like, I just didn't have access to it. Yeah, and I mean, it took me a long time to realize that it was connected to my gender, just because, I don't know, I think there's been so many more conversations the past few years about the different ways that your gender identity can look, you know, it's mm-hmm. in a less binary way. I think it really, that's all I really was exposed to for a long time, was just, like, you're male or you're female, and I just had a... I couldn't figure out what it was with me. I couldn't figure out where I fit in that. Mm-hmm. And then as I have come to an understanding of it, when I look back at my childhood, I'm like, it's kind of weird that I always had just like these, like, I hated being in a male swimsuit. Like, that was mm-hmm. like a weird thing for me. And I would always, like, cover my chest. And I'm like, why was I doing that? Like, isn't that kind of an interesting, like, why was it? It was always about my chest. I don't know. Like, little things like that, as I've gotten older, I'm like, yeah, it was always kind of connected to my gender. I just didn't know what it was. And I was raised with two older sisters, and I always saw us as equals. I never saw us as anything different until I was told that we were different, you know? And so I don't know. There's a lot of things like that.
You know, because when you and I met, like, through comedy, you were doing drag, doing stand-up. And then the more, you know, obviously pandemic, it was all like, we're all sitting in the house. But you were talking about kind of stepping away from drag, and also you were like, I've started to transition. And I guess what I'm wondering too is sort of, you know, your drag identity, like, you were doing that for work. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you mm-hmm. were out there, and then your kind of decision to say, okay, I no longer want to perform this, or at least not for a while, right? And I just want to be this. Is that kind of, does that make sense? Or was that the thought, or was that the...
Sort of, yeah. I mean, like, drag certainly led me to being treated by a room full of strangers in, like, a feminine way, which I never really was. I didn't really experience that. So, and it became kind of something that I chased. I was kind of addicted to. I was doing drag so much because when I didn't have that treatment from people, I was like a person that's like, no one look at me. Like, I got the hat down low. I'm very, like, I just didn't exist. I, like, honestly didn't exist if I wasn't wearing a full face of makeup and wearing wigs. And so I've had to acknowledge, like, when I didn't have that outlet and the pandemic hit and I wasn't able to be in that mindset, I had a lot of time to be like, oh shit, like, how do I get that? Like, and I realized how much of a part of that, it's actually a need for me to express my femininity. It's not just like a fun thing. I thought it mm-hmm. was just like a fun job, or like, I don't know. It's just that it was like, I didn't realize how much of a part of my actual identity it was. And before I was like, I got three dresses to rhinestone, and I've got a Beyonce number to learn. Like, I don't have time to be thinking about my gender. Like, I'm busy. I got brunch tomorrow morning. So I said Beyonce. I've never done a Beyonce
I love
number,
it.
But you get what I mean.
I love it. Absolutely.
So I just didn't have time to, like, think about it quite as much. Though it's been in my head the past few years that there's something more going on. But... So, yeah, I mean, now where I'm at with drag, it's more like I still do love playing dress up, and I still love that heightened camp of it all, you know. And so there's a time and a place for it. I got to a point where it's the only way I presented myself to the world. And it's just, I don't know. I was just talking about this with some other comedians about, like, you know, I was always doing stand-up, like, with stand-ups in drag, but I always, you know, it's like I was kind of perceived as a drag queen, and I don't know, maybe this is just my own thing or whatever, but I just kind of felt like there's a certain type of expectation for the content that I would talk about or the kinds of jokes that I would do or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'd be talking about like dating or like today I was at a store and I did this. And then it was like, I think people are kind of like, did you have a 4 foot tall wig on when you went on the date the other night? Because, you know, it's like I was trying to be like real, mm-hmm. but everything I was presenting visually was fake. And mm-hmm. so it was like kind of hard to connect with an audience in a real way. So I'm excited to be exploring that more. And that's why podcasting has been so good for me, because the visual aspect of it is kind of taken out and I can just mm-hmm. kind of, you know, talk.
Right.
Yeah, you can talk about airline food if you want. You can.
Yes,
talk about,
I mean, it's a thing that I don't think anyone's talked about yet. so yeah, I don't know. I'm still doing drag. I love drag. I'm viewing it differently than I did before.
You said when we saw you at Sam's when you were like, I kind of want to go into my Marc Maron phase. Like you were like, I just want to sit. I want to sit and talk. And I just remember that so clearly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I want to do stand-up. I want to do stand-up more. I'm just, like, stripping down, I guess, is probably what I was saying. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Just, like, stripping down, getting more raw.
Right, unplugged.
You know? Wearing
unplugged.
Turquoise.
Yes. This is sponsored by MailChimp, you know, like that.
Yes, that vibe.
Playing your guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Locking the gates. So from, but you know, because we talk about relations on this show,
absolutely.
From
you read my mind.
Those early hookups in the back seat of a, hold on. This is Michigan. So I'm going to say a Ford Fiesta.
Wow. cute.
I really don't know much about cars.
I do like Ford Taurus, I would say, though.
Ford Taurus, thank you.
What was it, Roz?
To now.
Let's Grand Am? Is that what it was
okay,
called?
Okay, that's like also that? Very Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
I just decide things are Grand Rapids.
Is that one of those ones where you can take the thing parts off the top? So the top doesn't like fall down, but you take these little things. Are they called T-tops, I think?
What's happening?
So
I'm not the one that knows about like car parts and stuff. I really don't know. I'm so sorry.
But you're from Michigan.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, but like from those early hookups, was that or singular? Was that a hookup?
A hookup.
Right. From the discussions, from the rumors, from uh-huh. the diversions, to...
From the hushed anecdotes.
to being, you know, living on your own in the big city, going on, obviously, your addiction bottom sobriety journey. Uh-huh. Where have romantic relationships and even platonic ones, just like close relationships, how have they fit in? Especially because it sounds like you have been on this journey of getting closer to who you are. So how has that affected the depth of your relationships?
Well, I mean, I've had three like real boyfriends. You know, it's really funny. I actually haven't talked about this anywhere, but why not? Let's just do it here.
Yes.
Exclusive.
Exclusive. Exclusive.
Yeah. You know, when I was like in high school and when I first moved out here, I was, the word I used was bisexual. And then I started, you know, just dating men. And the girls that I would date at the time would say to me, like, you know, you like men. So, you know, it was like there was a lot of that energy in 2008 where I was like, you like men, so you're gay. I wasn't encountering nuanced conversations on the topic. So I was just kind of like, oh, yeah, I guess I just like men. But I don't know. As time goes on, I'm like, I'm open to exploring all kinds of people at this point in my life. So there's your exclusive. Because like, you know, I guess if I really thought about it, like I did date women like when I was younger, but I never really think of those as like real relationships because they just didn't last very long. And it was, you know, I've never had like I've only had like cis male, like dating cis males, you know, when it comes to like longer than 6 months in my life. And I've done that 3 times. Well, actually, no, one time was like 4 months. And then I did one that was like 2 years. And then I recently got out of one that was like a year and a half-ish or something like that.
Yeah. And are you the kind of person, you burn it down? Do the relationships go up in flames? Or are you like, we have to have a talk about how this isn't working? Or do you ghost, like the podcast that you host?
Yes.
You know, I've done a lot of work. I have worked with a wonderful therapist, so I feel like I'm in a good place to be able to analyze and look back at my most recent relationship, which was a pandemic ending. You know, we started pre-pandemic and ended, March. We ended in March of this year, so pretty recent. I mean, 5 months or so ago. And, you know, I hate to put it this way, but, like, he kind of left me. So I was not able to, like, still be friends, and I don't know if I ever will, just because I'm like, I don't know. I just kind of compartmentalized you as someone that I was, like, in love with, not, like... Like, it would just be that weird thing. Like, I don't know if I'd be able to get over my feelings. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe one day we'll reconnect and be friends or something. But as of right now, at this early time, we haven't talked, really. And, yeah, I'm kind of like, like, no more. You know, like, you're here to, like, either be in love with me and we're living together, or it's like... All right, it was, now you're just somebody that I used to know.
Are there any patterns? Are there any things that connect these three longer relationships? Like, what made them last 4 months, 2 years, 1.5 years?
Well, it's unfair because the first two were very much in my drinking and drugging. I was just such a mess. I'm like such a different person these days. Not really. There really isn't. I would say the two ones that I've had there over a year, they wanted to leave me. I didn't want them to leave me. But I was just, I don't know. This pandemic was so fucking hard on me. I lost like all of my, you know, my self-worth was so connected to work, and, you know, my gender identity was attached to my work. Like, so much was attached to my work, and I was working 5 to 7 days a week. And then when it was taken away, it was just like a decline for my mental health, and I was just not doing well. And, you know, I really do... if a friend of mine was like, hey, this person that I'm dating is sad and sits on the couch eating pasta all day long, it doesn't work, I gotta work all day, they're just sitting around doing nothing, super depressed, they won't even clean the house, like, I would be like, you gotta get out, you know, like, come, like,
well, Andy,
know.
How do you put up with it? You've decided to stay. I'm eating pasta for breakfast. I'm not cleaning the house. How do you deal?
Well, I signed a contract.
You're killing it. What are you talking about?
No, I mean, during the pandemic, sure. I don't know. I mean, like,
it wasn't a real question.
I was gonna say, like, I'm empathetic. I don't know.
I hear what you're saying, though.
I'm really trying to not bash my ex, because I really think that he is such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person. It's just he needed to get out of the environment, and I just wasn't. You know, another thing I should add is that I wasn't helping myself very much. I was just kind of like, pasta and Ben and Jerry's are like my therapist, and I by the time I got into therapy, it was like too late, you know. It was like I'd already done too much damage to our relationship, I think, just mainly from just being not a good partner. Like, I just wasn't being my best self at all, and it's, you know, cute for like a couple of days, but like, now it's 9 months and I've just been moping around, you know. And so I think, and he was working from home. Like, it was really tough. I don't know. Y'all can make up your own judgments of the situation. And I'm sure there's more. This is only one person's side of it. But I don't know. It's unfortunate that it had to end. But it was the decision that he, you know, thought he needed to make. So,
look, this is a judgment-free zone.
I hope he's happy.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a judgment-free zone.
Yeah.
You know, if you spent the entire pandemic just asking him where the rigatoni is, you know, we would not judge you.
No, I wouldn't hold it against
tough.
You.
It was, I mean, I know I was just kidding with that thing, but it was really tough. And, you know, however people coped, like, you know, it was fucking dystopian.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sober. Like, I have to, like, stay on top of my shit. Yeah. And I find that for me, it's not just like, oh, I'll turn to drugs and alcohol. It's like there's other things that do that for me, you know, nowadays. Food, shopping, like whatever. Like I'll find something to escape if I'm not taking care of myself. And I just wasn't taking care of myself because it was so tough because there's like no future in sight. And also there was like that I'm in love so I can do whatever I want. Yeah, I guess it just wasn't cute on my part, really. But I don't know. I'm sure there's lots more that I could say, but I'm trying to paint him in a good picture.
And that's okay. Honestly, you know, we want this background. So, you know what I mean? And really just to sum up before we take our break. Or actually, no. Why don't we take a break? Come back and answer your relationship questions with Raj Dresvillez.
We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, y'all. Wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show. Back with Roz, okay? Top of the hour. We found out Roz was a child clown in corporate America, okay? Roz was out here with Corey Haim and Corey Feldman in North Hollywood. Roz was out here.
But wait. But not when they were, like, in their peak. We're talking, like...
Yeah, later.
Right. The decline.
The 2008.
Yeah. You were going through it. And then you have found a new you. You are expressing your
true
gender
you.
Identity.
True you.
Okay? Expressing that gender identity. We're letting Todd and Karen, that's the name I made up for your parents.
Mm-hmm.
We are Todd letting and Karen just make some mistakes every now and then.
and so you can watch a whale.
Mm-hmm.
And now,
what species whale? What are we talking about?
Humpback. Yes, there was a blowhole involved.
Well, that was my next question. So we get questions from our listeners through many different means. Gmail, Twitter DM, Instagram DM, of course, our favorite voicemail. This first one, let's see here. All right, this comes to us from Gmail. I'm going to say anonymous. They never let me know whether they wanted to be anonymous or not. So I'm just going to go ahead and what's the word I'm looking for? Err on the side of
caution.
Caution. Thank you.
You got it. You got it.
Hi, Naomi and Andy. And I'm going to put this in their guest. How do I tell my friend and roommate that she's the toxic one in her relationships?
Sounds like me. Oh my God. What if this is from my best friend?
So we're going to be anonymous. Do you err on the side?
No, because that would be Sam Pancake, and he wants everyone to hear his name.
She dates around too much. She wants a relationship, but none of the guys stick. She's super sensitive, and if something doesn't go her way in her relationship, she will go apeshit, blame the guy, and complain nonstop to all the people around her. She complains so much that eventually the guy gets sick of her and always ends things, and I can see it crystal clear. Then she finds a new guy, and the cycle begins again. If I love her,
If I love her, how do I not tell her?
Right. If I love her, how do I not tell her? And to be perfectly honest, I'm tired of hearing her complain. That might be the real question.
Right.
This article says the things I want to say to her, but I don't know how to say it to her, you know. I'm just going to read the URL, or the end of it, which says ego in romantic love.
I love when someone sends us a URL. I'm like, what do you want me to do? You got the URL.
I don't know how to share it with her without being mean or rude. Your help will go a long way. I appreciate it. Keep up the great work. Love the podcast. Thanks, Anonymous. Well, Roz,
this is almost sounds like this kind of debate that I've had many times with people where it's like, is it rude or like the best, nicest, coolest friend thing ever to tell a friend, like to say, oh, you have a booger in your nose. And I feel like there's two different kinds of people that want to hear that and don't want to hear it. I personally like to hear that. I find that as like a sign of somebody really caring and looking out for me and like not being afraid to tell the truth to me. But then I think that there's a lot of people that are like, how dare you? I can't believe you would say that. So like that gets really difficult. And it sounds like maybe this friend is the kind that doesn't want to know that there's a booger in their nose. And with those kinds of friends, I don't know. This sounds tough. I don't know how you...
Well, here, let me ask you this. When you were, say, let's say pre-sobriety, perhaps.
Okay.
When you were in...
Post-clown pre-sobriety.
What a journey.
The when sweet you were, spot.
Uh-huh. To paraphrase what you said, messy, I think.
Yes.
You said, was there anyone that told you that? Like, did you have someone in your life that could say, like, you know, what's going on?
Oh, yes. There was certainly more than one intervention in my life, but it's hard to, I'm sure there's like a way to see the forest through the trees. I don't know, whatever I'm trying to say. You know, it's kind of hard sometimes when you're in the thick of, especially when you're emotional. You know, if your friend is having this emotional venting session, it's not unlike if someone's like drunk to be like, hey, I think you have a problem. Like, it's like, okay, you have to wait for the right moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, and yeah, people would call me out, but like, I was somebody that I knew I had problems. I wasn't in denial of it. But yeah, it's like, God, that is so tough. This kind of a thing is really tough.
I think you shouldn't. My impulse actually is not to tell her, but it is to change the dynamics of your friendship so that she's not complaining to you. Do you see what I mean? Because part of me is like, honey, if she toxic, she toxic. You can't, like, it's bothering you. And what you're bothered by is her complaining.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of at the core. Like, of course you don't want your friend to be upset, but also it's like, Okay, you keep going in circles. I can't hear about this no more. And it's like, I think that's what you want to say to her, because I think you coming in and like diagnosing her mm-hmm. will not be met well.
No, no.
No matter what state she's in.
Oh, no. Especially right. if this person doesn't take any responsibility for themselves.
Exactly. If they're constantly blaming the guy, I don't know if they then, you know, blame the coworker, blame the friend. You know, if they're into blaming everyone else in general, it's like, yeah, you coming up in there and being like, you know why this isn't working? It's because you're a little toxic in your relationships.
Ooh.
Nope, 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 nope.
Well,
nope.
Also, my post-pandemic, old and tired, don't have time for some bullshit mentality these days is like, is it worth it? I mean, you start by saying that your friend is toxic. Like, is your friend worth, like, how close are you, I guess, is what I'm wondering. Like, because if this is like someone you just kind of know and all it is they complain all day, like, is it worth it? I don't know. I know that sounds fucked up, but like, these are people I don't know. Don't take advice from me.
Well, what about this? You go talk to them and you're like, do you know what the problem is in your relationships? And then you hold up a hand mirror.
Oh, that's some good old fashioned shade. That's the kind of shade you see at diversions.
Diversions. Let's have some discussions about your diversions.
How about the rumors?
Because I've been hearing rumors. That is, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think, okay. So, yeah, let's see if we can distill this into something actionable.
Yes, we love action items.
All right. If this is a close friend, don't do anything. Right?
Don't not do anything. Don't tell her she is the problem right. in her relationships unless she's like, why is this happening? You know, unless it's that type of thing.
If there's an opening.
Exactly.
So if there's an opening,
you could say it.
You could say
but
it.
But do not bring it
but
up.
But like, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, so what is the common denominator with all of these people that you complain about? Is it you?
If only you could see Roz's face right now, you guys. Such a stank face.
I'm just analyzing this based on very limited knowledge, and I don't know these people. Please don't take my advice, and please don't send me mad messages. I'm just trying to figure this out.
Yeah, no, but I mean, there is that impulse. It's like, that's why I said, but if it's, look, I think it's very difficult to tell someone about themselves.
Absolutely.
And only if it's like really, I think you should only do this if it is something where they're like actually hurting themselves or someone else. That's maybe where you step in.
Right.
But I do think you can say to somebody, moratorium. And we've had people call about this before too, like different things where it's like, my friend's always doing this or talking about this. And it's like, you can say moratorium on talking about the guys or we're going to have dinner. I don't want to hear it. Or she brings it up and you're like, yeah, girl, can we say, I want you to take 24 hours. Andy's making hand motions.
What? My hand motions are like, this is great. Sorry.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm pointing at Naomi. These are celebratory finger points.
That too can be met with like, excuse me? Like, I thought you were my friend.
Well, absolutely. But it's like, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be said. She gonna lash out at whatever, right? So the thing to me is like, you have to take care of yourself. And then taking care of yourself, you have to say like, you know, something, and again, it doesn't have to be like, I don't want to hear about this. You know, it doesn't have to be mean, but it can be very like, I'm going to set the timer for 4 minutes, tell me a story, and then we're done.
Yeah.
You know, you can be cute about it, funny about it, something.
You can draw boundaries.
Short in it.
I know that, like, I've had friends where, like, I've had to say, like, we sit there and we, like, talk about, like, UCB, and I'm just like, I can't talk about this thing that's now defunct pretty much anyway, but that, like, I did invest some of my time in it and in the scene, the comedy scene in New York. But like, I can't talk about, you know, rumors about X, Y, or Z anymore. I can't you know, what this one person did to you in an
7 years ago.
7 years ago. Right. I mean, like, they didn't let you audition for Harold Knight, you know, 10 years ago. I can't talk about that anymore. It's okay to draw boundaries.
Yeah.
And if they're a good friend of yours, they should respect that. Right.
Right. Right.
If you're not close, stop being friends with them. If you have a friend who like you're not actually close with, and all they ever do is complain,
yeah,
that doesn't seem like someone that is fun to hang out with.
Right. Right.
Now, okay. Now I feel like I need to send you guys a voice note, and because now I'm wondering, am I toxic? Because I always will tell, like, and I have of so many. I'm very fortunate to have a lot of really close friends, and I do be. I will say, listen, we have talked about this too much. Like, this is too much.
Yeah,
we can't.
That's a good boundary.
Or I'll be like, you are the problem.
Well,
maybe I won't be that blunt, but I will be like, now wait a minute, let's think about it here for a second. Like, I just admitted that I was the problem and the reason that my relationship ended. I overanalyze things, but I also, I don't know. I'm always down to offer and to look, to take myself out for a moment. I know I don't want to say like devil's advocate or whatever, but like I like to try to see both sides or do my best to understand both sides of situations. I don't know. That's just where
I mean, that's right. But you can only do it so many times. And it's like, just be like, hey, girl. You know, or, I mean, also, there are times when somebody's coming with they same old, same old. And you can say, too, it's like, honey, I don't have a bandwidth today. You know what I mean? Like, what about what she's going through as a friend and a person? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's sometimes where you're like, hey, somebody can call you. And, like, I tend to be, and me, whenever I do, I mean, I very rarely let myself be this vulnerable, but when I reach out to people, I will say, hey, I'm feeling upset. Are you able to talk? Meaning, let them know what the situation is. Because, you know what I mean? Like, it's nothing like you pick up the phone and, like, somebody, you just hear tears, and it's like, what's happening? I'm at a Costco. You know what I mean? Like, they have to kind of be able to, people have to decide if they're available to help you in that instance.
Right. I mean, because friends are not therapists.
Right. Right. As much as I'd like them to be.
Unless your friends are all therapists, but like they're off.
They're still not your therapist.
Yes, exactly.
All right. All right. Let's see if we can codify
this. I thought we did it.
If they're a close friend and there's an opening and you feel like it's right, you can say something. Otherwise, draw a boundary. If they're not a close friend, drop the drip.
Drop the drip.
Drop the drip.
That was very good of you, Drew.
I'm trying. I love that. Trying for some Oprah
drop
moments.
The drips. I know you like an Oprah moment.
All right. Why don't we do a voicemail then? Do you have time for one more?
Yes. Of course. Yay. Anything for you guys.
I love when you guys send us the voice notes. Please keep them coming. Our number is 323-524-7839. There is a 3-minute limit, just to know that, going in. But the voice notes let us know where you're at emotionally. Yes. Okay. It really allows us to kind of say, okay, that emphasis tells me that. So as always, 323-524-7839. I'm done plugging the voicemails. Let's listen to one.
Here we go.
Hey, Andy and Emily. I am a huge fan. And I am calling with a question about supporting a friend through a mental health challenge. I had been trying to connect with one friend and calling her, and she would text me back that she had just woken up and it was like 3:00 in the afternoon. And I actually thought that she was just being flaky and that it was turning into a one-sided friendship. And she visited me this weekend and it became very apparent that she is really struggling with depression. And I am very privileged in that I don't know what that feels like. I imagine it's extremely painful, though, and I feel very guilty for not being empathetic in the first place. So I'm wondering if it is, you know, pushy of me to keep calling and expecting her to, like, expend this energy on me, if I should, you know, loosen up a little bit, if I should give her some space, if I should continue to keep reaching out and, you know, just kind of being annoying. So anyway, just want to get your thoughts and let you know how much I love you both. Okay, bye.
Interesting.
This is, first of all, you're a very nice person.
Totally.
I really am into you, just wanting to know how to help, mm-hmm. if you can help. Also, my God, you've never struggled with depression? Give me your diet. I'll have what she's having. You know, it's like that vibe. I'll have what she's having about that.
Oh, when Harry met Lexapro.
Exactly. Oh, now that's a romance for the ages. That's a romance for the ages. Yeah, I mean, Roz, as someone in recovery, you know, I assume you have a network of other people who have gone through it, are going through it. Mm-hmm. Do you have, like, how do you kind of handle somebody or people in your life, you know, when they're like in a low moment, you know, and I don't mean like using, but, you know, just like a down, plus, you know, addicts, the feelings are always at 100.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, God, it's so, I think it's always good to check in, and to try to get a good grasp on what this person needs. Do they need to be left alone? Do they need to be comforted? You know, there's also obviously very different levels of depression. There's, you know, I don't feel comfortable like offering advice of dealing with that. I am not a professional, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's probably good to check in and
yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
this is the thing. You check in without expecting a response to show them that you care about them, right? Like, I had a friend who was struggling with some stuff over the pandemic, and I would constantly check in, be like, hey, no pressure to write back. I just wanted to see how you were doing. And that's generally, if I know someone, like a friend of mine, his father just passed away, and I wrote, you know, I texted him just to say hello and tell him we are thinking about him and love him, and say no pressure to write back. Just like, let this person know that you care about them and that they don't have to expend the energy the other way.
Mm. I think that's right. I also think, you know, it's nice to, if you're doing something safe, COVID safe, outdoors with a group, it would be nice to invite that person. Like, if they would mix and mingle with the group. Because I think, and they may say no, they will probably say no. But I think what's very important, because, you know, depression, at least as I experience it, is it entropy or is it the opposite?
Entropy is a measure of chaos. So like that.
Well, like not, it's about like not being able to, you just kind of get in this like morass and you can't really get out of it and you can't really like move through it. So every little thing feels insurmountable, hence, at least in my experience, taking a nap in the middle of the day.
Right. Increase. Mm-hmm. You have increasing entropy.
Increasing entropy. Thank you. Thank you, science. And so, you know, but what's important for me is that, like, in those, there are times, even when I'm depressed, when I go, okay, get up. And then I'll be like, well, I have nowhere to go. Or I have no one to see. And so then it's like, well, as you were. Or just to feel, like, because it's important to know, oh, there are people out there. There is something I could do when I'm ready. When I'm out of this, I will call this person who has been checking in on me and be like, let's go to lunch. And I think if you fall off, then that's the end of it. But I do agree. It's like, as you said, it's like you can't necessarily expect anything back. But I don't know. In the age of text, someone can always like fucking double tap the like or say thanks. But I'm just feeling low. I also wonder this too. You as a person, you're saying you've never really experienced that. Are you like an upbeat, chipper person naturally? Because when you, I don't know, for me, when I'm feeling depressed, I'm like, kill all that happy noise. Yeah. Okay. I was like, all this like high energy. It's like, so, you know, if also you want to make yourself available, you know, if this is how you feel, make it clear to this person too. It's like, hey, I can just listen. You don't have to like perform for me or, you know what I mean? Like, you can tell me whatever you want to tell me. Because I think that's crucial too. Because I know, a lot of times I kind of assess people and I'm like, oh no, they can't handle the real. You know what I mean? And then like, I don't tell them and then we never really have a meaningful friendship.
Yeah. But if you're too chipper and you want to like go down to your friend's level, watch a sad movie. Watch the last episode of Breaking Bad.
Good God.
Oh my God.
Sick.
And then maybe you can, you know, get down there.
This is so dumb. I can't even pretend to support it.
Oh, that's not.
I'm sorry, sweetheart.
You made some vows, Naomi.
I did not.
Yeah, I can't. I don't. I am not good at advice. You guys are amazing at this.
Well, I mean, have you ever been in either of these positions? It doesn't have to be depression, but just like in a space where it would have been nice if someone reached out to you, or were you reached out to someone
during the pastademic? Did you reach out to people? Did people reach out to you? You know, it, when you're in this moment on the couch, were you like, I should fucking call somebody, or you know what I mean? Like, how did you do?
Yeah, no, I mean, I had a lot of friends in the same position as me. You know, weirdly, I don't have any of those friends that are like, this is my time to get ripped. Like, I didn't have those people. Like, we all kind of were on similar pages to varying degrees. But I also didn't really share with even my, maybe some of my close friends. But I wasn't as honest about, like, how depressed I was. Also, it was like there was no place to be for so long that it wasn't like, hey, we're trying to all go to the party and you're not coming, you know? So it was like, you know, under the radar depression for like, to an extent with me. But yeah, I mean, I do like to check in on friends. You know, it's like in the world that we live in, I think it's easy to have a lot of like acquaintances and, and sometimes there's people that I'm like acquaintances with that don't have a lot of like close friends. And so I kind of, you know, check in with them. I think it's always good to check in on people and just say, hey, thinking about you, how you doing? You know, I like to do that. And I like it when people do that to me. I don't know.
No, that's right. I hear you. We think, I would just say like, let her know you're available. Don't necessarily expect a response. And, you know, just make sure she knows if this is what you're offering, that you are someone she can talk to or someone who she can be around when she doesn't feel so great, if that is what you feel.
I think that's great.
Yeah, well, we did. But I think it's like if you've never experienced depression, I do think that a lot of people's instinct is to match that with that happiness and that like, here's what you need. It's like, you know,
like get up, let's go. Someone like opens the curtains in their bedroom and is like, come on, it's a beautiful day.
And I think that maybe like that's probably the best takeaway I think I got from what you guys were saying about this is just sort of, I hope that this person that called gets an understanding of like maybe maybe they won't reply well or respond well to that exciting energy, but maybe they will. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. I think it's like because it's about baby steps. Because if it's hard for me to like be out, look at people, talk to people. If I know that you're not someone I have to perform for, I'm like, okay, then maybe I can get up and go outside and sit outside and talk to this person because it's one less thing to have to do. And it's like, okay, now I'm out. Now I've had a conversation with a person. Maybe I'll walk. Maybe I'll do errands. Totally. Maybe I'll shower, right? Like it
breaks the seal kind of, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Totally.
Gotta break that emotional seal.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I was in my head and I was thinking about like when you were like, I think the thing about depression is it's really, It takes many different forms, but I think there's some underlying thing about like not having the energy, to like do anything, even like feel really right. It's just like a bereftness.
Mm-hmm.
I think understand. You know, read The Noonday Sun. Is that the name of that book?
The Noonday Demon.
The Noonday Demon.
It's very thick. Don't read it. It's so big, but it's about depression. But I don't know. Like I go through times too where I'm like I don't want anyone to look at me. Like literally physically, the idea of someone looking at my form is so upsetting to me when I'm in that. And it's like, you know, which means that if someone reaches out, we're doing text only, but I do appreciate it. It's like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's just like a lot of time I feel like hijacked by
Are you
emotions.
Guys phone call people?
No.
I don't, I like to talk on the phone, but I don't like really call. I have like one friend I talk to on the phone, but other people it's more like we'll text and if we get to phone, great.
Oh my God, I am a phone call queen. I talk on the phone for a couple hours a day.
Oh, I love it.
It's my favorite. But I also think that it is like a part of that too, like being super depressed, it was so good to have phone calls with friends because I didn't have to worry about the way I looked. I didn't have to worry about, you know, the performance. Yeah.
Exactly.
30 years ago, you would have been a phone call princess because That's a brand of old phone that was big. Like
Phone Call Princess?
Well, no, Princess was the brand of the phone.
There was a Princess telephone.
Yeah, like dial.
Yeah. How do you know these things? Like, these things come out of your brain. I'm like, when did Princess telephones from the 60s come to your mind?
Great question.
Well, I think that's a good time, if any, to end the episode, because Roz has been holding that microphone for 90 minutes. You guys, I hope you had a wonderful time with us, because we did with you. Roz, thank you for being a friend.
Thanks for having me.
And we will see you guys next week. Bye! Cup of apples, therapy. Cup of apples,
therapy. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.